Radio Beethoven presenta Siglo XXI. Producción y conducción, José Oplustin.
Muy buenas noches, bienvenidos a Siglo XXI. En el programa de hoy vamos a recordar la ópera radiofónica Satiricón de Bruno Maderna. El compositor y director italiano, que falleció tempranamente a los 53 años, desarrolló una parte importante de su actividad en el teatro musical y la ópera. Estrenó y presentó muchas óperas contemporáneas, pero también varias antiguas, e incluso realizó una edición de la partitura de Orfeo de Monteverdi. Él mismo compuso obras escénicas, siendo las más recordadas Don Perlimplín, Hiperión y Satiricón. Satiricón fue de hecho su última aventura teatral y la estrenó en el Festival de Holanda en 1973, poco antes de su muerte. Es una ópera radiofónica o acción musical que nació un par de años antes durante una serie de talleres de improvisación experimental con el productor teatral Ian Strasfogel en Tanglewood. Y con este artista estadounidense llevó a escena la primera producción de Satiricón en Holanda. El libreto se basó en la obra de Petronio, un retrato de la decadencia y la depravación de la etapa final del Imperio Romano, y centrándose en la escena del banquete en la casa de Trimalción y su esposa Fortunata, ilustra el materialismo, el capitalismo y la corrupción de la sociedad actual. Ellos representan a una pareja de nuevos ricos cuyo ascenso desde la esclavitud ha conllevado un descenso como personas. Vamos a comenzar la audición de Satiricón con las escenas tituladas Introducción, Aria de Fortunata, Trimalción y la Flatulencia, Máquina de Alimento, El Dinero, Erótica, Lady Luck y La Viuda de Efeso.
Cosa pensa lei della situazione?
Mi dico va bene.
Il tempo.
Così può andare.
Non c'è male.
Che dico adesso? Caramelle.
Allontanati un po'.
Germania. Hai ragione. Andiamo.
Non
Ecco così, che sorriso.
Nimmt mir nicht übel, wie liebe Freunde, schon viele Tage macht mein Bauch nicht mit. Moi, je ne connais pas de plus grand supplice que de se retenir. Auch die Ärzte kennen sich nicht aus, was mir trotzdem geholfen hat. War Granatapfelschale und Pinien in Essig. Ich hoffe trotzdem, besinnt sich endlich auf seine Anstandspflicht. I know of some who've died from being too polite and holding it in. Sonst könnte es mir den Bauch herum. Man denkt, ein Stier. Jupiter is a rain of gold descended. Secure as a godhead, the world's not judge of much, except your honest money. Except enough, the moral is money. Jupiter is money in the bag. Jupiter is money in the bank. Jupiter is money in the bank. Jupiter is money in the bank.
Ma questo è il tuo nome.
Thank you.
merely to stare at this prodigy. It happened, however, that her husband one day died. Finding the normal custom of following the cortege with hair unbound and beating her breast in public quite inadequate to express her grief, the lady insisted on following the corpse into the tomb and there set herself to guard the body, weeping and wailing night and day. Although in her extremes of grief, she was clearly courting death from starvation, her parents were utterly unable to persuade her to leave. In short, all Ephesus had gone into mourning for this extraordinary woman. All the more since the lady was now passing her fifth consecutive day without once tasting food. Beside the failing sat her devoted maid, sharing her mistress' grief and relighting the lamp whenever it flickered out. The whole city could speak, in fact, of nothing else. Here at last, four classes alike agreed, was the one true example of governor of the province gave orders that several thieves should be crucified in a spot close by the vault where the lady was mourning her dead husband's corpse. So, on the following night, the soldier who had been assigned to keep watch on the crosses so that nobody could remove the thieves' bodies for burial suddenly noticed a light blazing among the tombs and heard the sounds of groaning. And prompted to know who or what was making those sounds, he descended into the vault. But at the sight of a striking and beautiful woman, he stopped short in terror, thinking he must be seeing some ghostly apparition out of hell. Then, observing the corpse and seeing the tears on the lady's face and the scratches her fingernails had gashed in her cheeks, he realized what it was. Promptly fetching his little supper pack down to the tomb, he implored the lady not to persist in her sorrow. Men alike had the same end, the same resting place awaits us all. His consolations being unwelcome only exasperated the widow more. More violently than ever, she beat her breast, and tearing out her hair by the roots, scattered it over the dead man's body. Undismayed, the soldier repeated his arguments and pressed her to take some food, until the little maid, quite overcome by the smell of the wine, succumbed and stretched out her hand to her tempter. Then,
Restored by the food and wine, she began herself to assail her mistress' obstinate refusal.
A qua te servira til de te laisse mourir de faim, de toi se venir vivante.
Short, the lady's body soon gave up the struggle. She yielded. They slept together the first, the second, and the third night, too. One night, however, the parents of one of the crucified thieves, noticing that the watch was being badly kept, took advantage of our hero's absence to remove their son's body and bury it. The next morning, of course, the soldier was horror-struck to discover one of the bodies missing from its cross and ran to tell his mistress of the horrible punishment which awaited him for neglecting his duty. In the circumstances, he told her, he would not wait to be tried and sentenced, but would punish himself then and there with his own sword. All he asked of her was that she make room for another corpse and allow the same to enclose husband and lover together. Our lady's heart, however, was no less tender than pure. She cried, God forbid that I should have to see at one and the same time the dead bodies of the only two men I ever have loved. Hang the dead, then kill the living. With these words she gave orders that her husband's body should be taken from its bier and strung upon the empty cross.
Estamos escuchando la ópera radiofónica Satiricón de Bruno Maderna, en un registro de 1991 con el tenor Paul Sperry como Trimalción y Avinas, el bajo Aureo Tomisic como Eumolpo y Niceros, la soprano Liliana Oliveri como Criside, la mezzosoprano Milagro Vargas como Fortunata y el Divertimento Ensemble de Milán dirigidos por Sandro Gorli. El libreto de Satiricón está escrito en cinco idiomas con un propósito específico. predomina el inglés estadounidense para enfatizar los elementos capitalistas e imperialistas de la decadencia de Roma y el carácter de trimalción. El francés se usa para las escenas de seducción, el italiano para los momentos en que las pasiones alcanzan su punto culminante, el alemán para las flatulencias de trimalción y finalmente hay citas del latín original de Petronio. Maderna conceptualizó Satiricón como una serie de 16 escenas independientes combinadas con 5 grabaciones en cinta y dejó instrucciones explícitas para que cada director y cada interpretación pudieran y debieran adoptar una secuencia diferente y así crear una nueva versión de la ópera en cada nueva presentación. Además, citas de obras de Tchaikovsky, Puccini, Strauss, Wagner, Gluck y muchos otros enfatizan el contenido. Si bien en la ópera no aparecen los protagonistas del triángulo amoroso original, que son los jóvenes Encolpio y Asculto y el adolescente Gitón, Maderna elige al poeta Eumolpo como principal invitado y crea una nueva escena en que Fortunata intenta seducirlo. Se suman el marmolista Avinas y los sirvientes Críside y Nicerios, y finalmente agrega partes del cuento de la alegre viuda de Efeso y del episodio de Circe. Vamos a seguir con las escenas: Trimalción y los animales, la carrera de Trimalción, Críside, éxtasis amoroso, Fortunata y Eumolpo, la fuga de Eumolpo, Trimalción contra Fortunata, la chispa y Trimalción y el monumento.
Make yourselves comfortable. Once I used to be like you, but I rose to the top by my ability. Guts are what make the man, the rest is garbage. I buy well, I sell well. Others have different notions, but like I was saying, friend, it's through my business sense that I shut up. Why, when I came here from Asia, I stood no taller than that candlestick there. For 14 years I was my master's pet, but what's the shame in doing what you're told to do? But all the same, if you know what I mean, I managed to do my mistress a favor or two. The mum's the word, I'm none of your ordinary blowhards. Well, then heaven gave me a push, and I became master in the house. I was my master's brains. I was my master's brain, so he made me heir to it.
blood, and I came out of it with a senator's fortune. But we never have enough, and I wanted to try my hand at business. To cut it short, I had 5 ships built. Then I stocked them with wine, worth its weight in gold at the time, and shipped them off to Rome. I might as well have told them to go sink themselves, since that's what they did. Yep, all 5 of them wrecked. No kidding. In one day, old Neptune swallowed down a cool million. Was I licked? Hell no! That loss just whetted my appetite. As though nothing had happened at all, I built some more ships, bigger and better, and a damn sight luckier. No one could say I didn't have guts, but big ships make a man feel big himself. I shipped a cargo of wine, bacon, beans, perfume, and slaves. That was the yeast of my wealth. Besides, when the gods want something done, it gets done in a jiffy. On that one voyage alone, I cleared about 500,000. Right away, I bought up all my old master's property. I built a house. I went into slave trading and cattle buying. Everything I touched just grew and grew like honeycomb. More and more. 775,000. $1,000,000. More and more again. 7 millions, milioni, 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 milioni. $13 million, 20 millionen, 100 millionen, noch mehr, immer mehr, kolossal, 3 miliardentis, quattrocenti miliardentis, 200 miliardentis.
there! Oh, no, sir! Three million changes, but it's in gentle million changes! No, gentle million changes!
That's no lie. Old Adam. Agato, who sells perfume to the lady next door, slipped me the word.
Je t'apprie, je t'apprie, ne laisse pas éteindre ta race,
he said. But not me.
Oh no, I was a little good boy. Nothing fickle about me. Nothing fickle, nothing fickle, nothing fickle about me. And now I go on and slam the axe into my shins. You're the copper. But someday, slut, you'll come scratching at my grave and let me back. And just so you understand what you've done, I'll remove your statue from my tomb. That's an order, Nicheros!
No, sir, I don't want any more domestic squabbles in my grave. And what's more, just to show her that I can dish it out too, I won't have her kissing me on my deathbed.
Contents of my will, so my whole household will love me as much when I'm still alive as after I am dead.
Here, my private tuba mirum.
Thank you. me, Cheros? Will you make me my tomb exactly as I order it? First, of course, I want a statue of myself. I want a statue of myself, but carve my god at my feet and give me garlands of flowers, jars of perfume, and every pint of Hercules' career. Then, thanks to your good offices, I'll live on long after I'm gone. In front, I want my tomb 100 feet long, but 200 feet deep. Around it, I want an orchard with every known variety of fruit tree. You'd better throw in a vineyard, too, for it's wrong, I think, for a man to concern himself with the house where he lives his life, but give no thought to the home he'll have forever. But above all, I want you to carve this notice. This monument does not pass into the possession of my heirs. In any case, I'll see to it in my will that my grave is protected from damage after my death. I'll appoint one of my ex-slaves to act as custodian to chase away the people who might come and crack on my tomb. Also, I want you to carve me several ships with all sail crowded and a picture of myself sitting on the judge's bench in official dress with 5 gold rings on my fingers and handing out a sack of coins to the people. For it's a fact, and you're my witness, that I gave a free meal to the whole town and a cash handout to everyone. Also, make me a dining room, a frieze maybe, however you like, and show the whole town celebrating at my expense. On my right, I want the statue, a part of the heart with a tone in her hand. Then, oh yes, she's going to happen, then of course, I'll try to hack her. And don't forget, you can say, also I would like to use jars of wine with carpet, so the wine would splash out. Sculpt me a broken vase with a little boy sobbing out his heart over it. And in the middle, stick a sundial so that anyone who wants the time of day will have to read my name. And how will this do for the epitaph? Here lies Gaius Pompeius Trimalchio Mecenatianus, voted in absentia an official of the imperial cult. He could have been registered in any category of the civil service at Rome, but chose otherwise. Pious and courageous, a loyal friend. He died a millionaire, though he started life with nothing. Let it be said to his eternal credit that he never listened to philosophers. Peace to him. Farewell.
De esta forma completamos la audición de la ópera radiofónica Satyricon, de Bruno Maderna. Hemos tenido una grabación de 1991 con el tenor Paul Sperry como Trimalción y Avinas, el bajo Aureo Tomisic como Eumolpo y Niceros, la soprano Liliana Oliveri como Críside y la mezzosoprano Milagro Vargas como Fortunata. Estaba también el Divertimento Ensemble de Milán, todos dirigidos por Sandro Gorli. Me despido y agradeciendo su sintonía, los invito para que nos encontremos nuevamente mañana aquí en Radio Beethoven a partir de las 11:30 de la noche. Hasta entonces.
Radio Beethoven presentó Siglo XXI. Producción y conducción, José Oplustin.